in 2007, Nick Saban probably didn't take home a dime because he was probably paying all of his players to come to Alabama. and he built a dynasty.
Ring,
and,
ring. You can't unring that bell.
It's time for the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Another episode of the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast. We are coming at you from Vienna, West Virginia. Wild, wonderful West Virginia. The country roads have led us to Vienna. And we are joined by our special guest, Brandon. You may remember him from last year. He was living in Tennessee. But Brandon has still maintained his love for his Tennessee Volunteers. So, Darren, GBO. That's why he's here, and I know the two of you have a little bit of tension, but I hope that tonight we can show the world that people can come together.
Peace can abound. That's what we're going to show. That's exactly what. Have you burned a couch? You're in West Virginia. Have you set any couches on fire? I know you're not there yet. On campus, but still.
But I have a feeling next season I'll burn a couple.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
In the past, Darren, I felt like pretty open to say stuff about West Virginia because, according to our analytics, nobody up here listens to our show anyway.
That's right.
Now with Brandon on here, that may change. So
that's right. That's exactly right. Now we're going to have to be careful.
Well, we've got a number of news and notes that we want to talk about first before we jump into, of course, the big news, the completion of the SEC Women's Tournament and a pretty pretty eventful ending to that championship game. And then we want to...
It was not boring.
No, not at all. Then we're going to talk about the SEC Men's Tournament as we prepare for Selection Sunday on March 17th.
Yay!
We're recording this episode a day later than normal. It's Tuesday, and this morning... Head coach Nick Saban, or former head coach Nick Saban from the Alabama University of Alabama Crimson Tide, participated in a round table at the invitation of Senator Ted Cruz on the future of college athletics. And he made a statement that has really, Darren, captured people's minds. Yeah. It's a very, let me share it with you if you haven't heard it. He said today, all the things that I believed in for all these years, 50 years of coaching, no longer exist in college athletics.
Wow. That's a strong statement.
Of course, the subject matter was NIL.
Right. Absolutely.
So besides this strong statement, how does that strike you, Darren?
Well, you know, the thing, I watched quite a bit of that. Obviously it had my attention and you couldn't stay away from it on Twitter, especially, or X, whatever. And there were so many highlights. The thing that struck me is how much the conversation was about the things that we've talked about, not that we coined the phrase in any way, but the things we've talked about with how college football right now today has legitimately, and all of college sports, but more so football, has turned into the Wild Wild West, kind of an anything goes. And when you take that was the parameters which the conversation was taking place, and he makes those statements, I think there's something to be said because he talked a lot about player development and the fact that you want to improve your players' lives on the field, you want to improve your players' lives off the field, and the way things are working today, when the only thing that is of concern is what is playing time and what is pay. And again, his not necessarily a quote, but his premise of what he was saying, the majority of what he was saying, I think there's a lot of conversation that can be had about it, but I think there are some very, very valid points that have to be of great concern when you look at what does this look like in a decade if nothing happens, especially if nothing happens. What does this look like in a decade? What is it? Is it the college football game that we fell in love with that evokes such commitment and such passion from everyone involved, from the sidewalk fan to the, you know, staff and coaches to the players and families? does it still look the same? And I think that's what part of what he's saying, you know, everything that you look at college football being over the past 50 years, it really has taken just a couple of years for that to be dramatically different. And I think on the surface, that's a very valid point.
Yeah. How did it strike you, Brandon?
I agree with you, Darren. Like it kind of takes away a little bit of the purity of the game, the loyalty of players have towards the university. It seems like a lot of them are just, you know, kind of, to put it bluntly, just chasing a check nowadays. Mm-hmm. And they're willing to just bounce around wherever they can get the best deal now. Mm-hmm. And that's no good for the game.
Right.
I read somewhere that Tennessee is part of a group. I'm not sure if it's Tennessee or maybe the SEC in entirety is looking. This is some far off account that I follow, that they're looking to like secede from the NCAA and start their own deal and pay the players from the university and not an NIL collective. And so they'd be basically employees of the university. Mm-hmm. That's just, I mean, who knows what it's going to turn into, like you said, a decade from now. And I think when you brought this up, I got a kind of a smirk on my face. I'm just going to put it out here. I don't like Alabama. And I'm shocked. I will never. when Saban says something like that, I just go straight to a dark place in my mind. I think he doesn't like NIL because money isn't a thing anymore.
Leveled the playing field. It
leveled the playing field. In 2007, Nick Saban probably didn't take home a dime because he was probably paying all of his players to come to Alabama. and he built a dynasty.
Ring, ring, ring. You can't unring that bell. That's
and now he can't do that. Everybody does it now. So it took away an advantage that the University of Alabama had with recruiting top players and being so good. Like you said, it leveled the playing field. Alabama's still a great team, but they're kind of leveling off all of a sudden, and they started to level off about the time that NIL was approved. So I don't know if that's a coincidence or what, but
it's a valid point.
That's what I think. I don't know.
Spoken from a Tennessee fan. Right.
Now Tennessee tried to pay players a few years ago and McDonald's bags full of money and stuff.
I was about to say, since you're kind enough to be on the show with us, I'm going to avoid Jeremy Pruitt's wife and her McDonald bag full of money. Yeah, but let's just keep going. That backfired.
I don't think there was enough money to get players to come to Tennessee at that point.
I think you're right.
But yeah, so, you know. I admit that, you know, we tried, but we're not quite as good as Nick Saban, so at cheating. I mean, but sorry.
He sorry. Came around the corner with one more. Bam.
How do you really feel about this, Brandon?
I don't like Alabama.
You know what? I give it two thumbs up, an absolute 10. Yeah. I appreciate the candor.
Darren can do that because he is a fan of the one SEC team that has never paid a player. Right?
That's exactly right.
I wonder if there's – you guys are making some good points. I'm thinking the butterfly effect here. Like if NIL had been where it is right now a few years ago, would Dallas Turner have gone to Alabama? And if he hadn't gone to Alabama – who would have committed a late hit on Jaden Daniels? And would LSU have won that game?
Wow.
There's a lot.
See, now there you go.
All right.
We need is it Scully and Mulder? We need them on the case to see if they can answer that one. That's
right.
That's
the same.
It's the next file. So, for those in Alabama who are no longer listening to us.
That was a winding road.
Let's move on to the top 25. We'll start with the men and then go over to the women and then look at the baseball top 25. On the men's side of things, Tennessee, Brandon has dropped to number 5.
Yeah.
Cause for concern? Are you nervous?
No.
Are you sweating?
No.
Hang on. We're getting messages from Alabama fans right now.
Oh, boy.
Who in the world is Brandon? What the heck is he doing on the show right now?
Alabama fans, they know words. Don't you worry. They
Tennessee, you know, in true Tennessee fashion, they win the SEC regular season and then promptly lose their very next game.
Yeah.
But they'll bounce back. They're focusing on the tournament now and resting up and I'm lying. I think they're I'm just trying to defend them. I'm struggling. I am worried.
Yeah. They're wrapping Dalton Connect in bubble wrap.
Yeah, I know. I was make really sure trying to defend to them, but they are just so disappointing. I can't even put it into words. Like, hopefully this is the year that they make it past the tournament or make it into the NCAA tournament and win a few games and make the Final Four for the first time in God knows how long.
You sound like somebody who's been hurt.
I know. I'm a realistic Tennessee fan. I know how they are. I know that they choke. But hopefully this year they'll get it together.
Would it be the first time ever? Is that correct?
Probably. Final Four? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it would be. I think they've made it to the Elite Eight, but I think it would be their first ever Final Four.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
So hopefully this is the year. I mean, they've got a squad. They've got the SEC Player of the Year again. I know they had Grant Williams a few years ago, but Connect is a special player.
Yes.
And hopefully he's enough to put him over that edge. It was such a bad loss to Kentucky after that game. I mean, no disrespect to Kentucky. They're a good team, but that why couldn't they have just won? Like, come on.
Believe me, I ask that question every week as a Vanderbilt fan. I get it.
Right.
Why can't they just win?
The fact, Darren, you continue to ask that question every week speaks of a resilience that we just don't see very often in this world.
It's a statement of faith. I got to be honest. I feel like it's
And I have high hopes for Tennessee, but Brandon's talking me out of it.
But, I mean, look, so Tennessee is a top four team. They lose to Kentucky. They stunk it up and lost, and then allowed Kentucky to rise up to number 9, as you can see down there. So not only did they just lose the last season of the game, they bumped Kentucky up into the top 10. I mean, that's just more salt on the wound there.
And the worst thing you can do, no matter what team you are, is give a John Calipari Kentucky team a hint. A little bit of belief,
right?
Going into tournament time, yeah. That is the worst thing you could do.
I mean, I ran across this stat. Let me read it. So, since 2018 and 19, I believe Grant Williams was there at that point. Tennessee has been a top 10 team 48.2% of the time. They've been a top 5 team 22.3% of the time. This is regular season, and they've been ranked 84% of the time. That sounds really good, but you can't win an SEC championship and you can't make it past the Sweet 16 in the tournament. So that goes to that. Just, you know, historically they have floundered in the tournament. And like I'm saying, I hope this is the year that they get over that and win some games.
And I can confirm, I did look it up. Elite Eight in 2010, is their only Elite Eight appearance and no Final Fours.
See, I mean, so, top 10 or top five team 22% of the time, almost a quarter of the time, a quarter of the seasons since 18-19, they've been top five, and you know, just can't get over. They just can't get over a big game. They just can't. They can't pull it together.
Figure out how to peak at the right time.
I know. Yeah. But this is the year.
Hey, I say that every year.
Yeah, right. I know. This is the year.
This is the year we beat Alabama. This is the year we win the SEC. This is the year we win a national championship.
Right.
I've been saying that in basketball for Vanderbilt since the year Jeff Green traveled. I believe that was 2007. So.
Jeff Green. Wow. Yeah.
But I'm emboldened. 2019 still emboldens me.
Yeah, that's right. As it should.
I'm going to live off that forever, man. Yeah. So coming in after Tennessee at number five, which as well, anyway,
feels like a bleak number five now.
I know. I'm like, this is the most depressing, depressing number five ranking I've ever heard talked about. Number nine, Kentucky, Auburn at 12, South Carolina, number 15, another incredible season. Coach of the year, South Carolina, the honors keep coming in. And Alabama at number 19. That's the men's AP top 25. Over on the women's side, South Carolina undefeated, recently winning the SEC Women's Championship, holds on to that spot, and they've got to be the favorite going into this tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Texas at number 5, LSU at 8, and Oklahoma at 17. Now let's talk a little bit about baseball, where the SEC continues to dominate the rankings.
Yes, they do.
The Arkansas Razorbacks. Who's going to call them hogs? Nobody here.
Well, a whole lot of people will outside of this. Okay, they mean they jumped up to number one. That's sweet. That's nice.
Yeah, we were going to have an Arkansas fan join us, but they didn't have electricity. So.
I give it a 10.
LSU at number 2, the Aggies at 4, Tennessee at 5, Florida at 8. Your Commodores at number 9.
Still hanging out at 9.
They have how many losses now? Still 3?
Still 3, yep.
Okay. Alabama at 14, Auburn at 18, South Carolina at 20, and Texas at 23. So, again, SEC strong showing in the men's AP top 25 baseball poll.
Absolutely.
So a lot of great news for the SEC, and I'd be tickled to death if the LSU men's basketball team was ranked number 5 in the country. I think I would be overflowing with positivity right now.
I'd be tickled to death if Vanderbilt was ranked number 5 in the conference.
Well, let's put the brakes on that.
I know. It's just I'm just so used to Tennessee being in a top 5 team that it's like I'm just kind of. Yeah, do better, you know. But
yeah, I'm feeling a little fiddle playing right now. Oh,
right. I know.
I think we need to have a word with Brandon off stage. So let's go ahead and pause for this week in sports history.
March 1934, Babe Diedrichson Zaharias pitched a total of 4 innings in 3 Major League spring training exhibition games. On March 20th, she gave up 1 walk and no hits in 1 inning for the Philadelphia Athletics against the Brooklyn Dodgers. On March 22nd, she pitched the first inning for the St. Louis Cardinals against the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox scored 3 runs against Diedrichson in the inning. On March 25th, she played for the New Orleans Pelicans against the Cleveland Indians, pitching 2 scoreless innings and lining out in her only plate appearance. Diedrichson gained world fame in track and field and was an All-American in basketball. Diedrichson is the only track and field athlete, male or female, to win individual Olympic medals in separate running, throwing, and jumping events.
Oh, thank you.
The big news from last week was the SEC Women's Championship game where South Carolina topped LSU 79-72. But that wasn't the headline.
Nope.
Toward the end of the game, a fight broke out on the court. Even a few fans, or at least one, jumped onto the court. Another one was stopped by security. Teams had to be separated. There were mass ejections. And if you watch everything that went down, anybody can Google it, go online and watch it. There was jawing the whole game.
Yeah, it started immediately.
Okay, both those teams were going back and forth the entire ball game.
Absolutely.
And a stolen ball, LSU player Flaje Johnson, grabbed a girl. It was an intentional foul to stop a breakaway, layup, fast break, whatever you want to call it. She had words with the girl. Then she bumped into another South Carolina player. They had words. And then it seemed like running with a full head of steam was a 6'7" Cardoso came in and just put Flaje Johnson on the court.
Yeah, she leveled her.
There's been a lot of commentary about what went down. And a lot of it, I think, depends on where you are. Are you a South Carolina fan? Are you an LSU fan? Do you like Kim Mulkey? Can you not stand Kim Mulkey? Do you like Dawn Staley? Do you not like Dawn Staley? And we understand that that affects our opinions. It even affects our opinions on this show as much as we try to be unbiased. Dawn Staley offered an apology. She and Flaje Johnson talked after the game and both exchanged apologies. What the national media, especially the pundits who have different talk shows, are taking aim at Coach Mulkey for her comments afterwards, in which she had said, "I wish she would have done that to Angel Reese." And she made special mention of the size difference between Cardoso and Johnson. And that was where the Angel Reese reference came in there. Now, I want us, the three of us, we're going to talk a little bit about our opinions here, but I'll lead off by saying this. I don't think in any way, shape, or form is Coach Mulkey advocating fighting or violence. That's just not her. If you look at her throughout her career as a player, as a coach, she's not saying, "I want my girls to go out and fight." That's not what she's saying. But what I think she was encouraging was that you stand up for your teammates. And I think, Darren, you and Brandon both were offensive linemen in your football careers. And we talked about this before the show. If your quarterback gets leveled by somebody, you're going to stand up for your quarterback.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that's all I think Coach Mulkey was getting at. What do y'all think?
Brandon, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, no coach is going to tell you to fight, but they do want to see you stand up for your teammates, for your family. And not put up with nonsense like that. I mean, that girl was huge that leveled Flaje. And, if her teammates had just stood around and watched that, sure, there might not have been as much drama. But I just think, like, what kind of teammate is just going to watch someone get knocked out like that and not do anything about it? I don't know. It's you never want to condone what happened, but it's understandable. I don't know, at the least. I mean, I'm guilty of it. I've started scuffles on the field in my playing days for the same thing. So, in the heat of the moment, you just make a decision and that protective instinct comes out and then before you know it, it's out of hand.
Yep. Absolutely. And I will tell you, my thing is, and this is not, especially from South Carolina perspective, this is not going to be a very popular opinion. But I think from South Carolina's perspective, the whole thing was an overreaction, because Flaje Johnson, it was an intentional foul, but it was not a flagrant foul. She didn't punch her.
No.
She didn't hit her. She didn't trip her. She pulled her shorts. I mean, was it an intentional foul? Was it a technical? Yeah, it was. And that should have been called. But it was not this flagrant foul where the girl ends up on the ground. So to me, the overreaction most likely spills from the back and forth, like you mentioned, started, basically from the first tip.
And the day before when they almost got sent home by the Lady Vols, but
absolutely. There you go.
They might have been a little high strung headed into that game.
So I think you have to put some of the blame right there to begin with. I think that's where the overreaction began. And then at that point, once it escalates, at the end of the day, again, not justifying or saying anything is acceptable, but escalation creates escalation. So when somebody gets put on the ground, just like we've been saying, the other team is going to react. And I think it's as simple as that. So I think both coaches dealt with it in their way, in their post-game statements. You kind of could see both of their personalities and their statements. And I see that and I understand that. And I just also have to say the guy coming out of the stands, come on. That's the silliest of silly. I don't care who you are, who you're related to. I don't. Keep your butt in a chair. That's ridiculous. To end up on the court is silly. And regardless of what anything that happened post, as far as from a civic or criminal perspective, not even getting into or even worried about any of that, from just strictly in that moment, I was glad to see security react the way they did and immediately take care of that, because that's its own separate escalation and a much larger concern when people, you remember the craziness of the Indiana Pacer game that, of course that's been over a decade ago or however long, when beers are thrown from the stands and people are coming out. And that was, so you don't ever want to see anything escalate to that level. So I was very, very glad to see security react the way they did. And one guy made it to the court. The other guy barely made it out of the stands and security had it under control. So I was glad to see that. And those guys should have never left the stands. That was ridiculous.
Yeah. I think we all agree with that. Fans should never leave the stands to come onto the court. Absolutely. Like that. In that situation at all. I think that if Cardoza hadn't rushed in there, all that would have happened was jawing back and forth.
Absolutely.
I think that's all that would have happened.
That was a tipping point right there.
Yep, absolutely.
And I think that's why she was not only ejected, but she will not play in their first round NCAA tournament game because of those actions. Mm-hmm. But you also have the consideration that when a much bigger player does that to a much smaller player, there's a serious risk there of injury.
Yep.
And absolutely. I think that's why it has to be taken seriously. Now, I think Coach Staley was sincere in everything she said, and I'm not questioning that. I will say that it's a lot easier to be gracious when you win.
Absolutely. That's a very valid point.
And do I think Mulkey was upset about losing? Absolutely. The woman hates to lose.
Absolutely.
But again, she was not. And these sports people who are saying she's advocating violence, I don't know if they're just looking for clickbait or more viewers or what, but it's completely insane. She was not advocating violence.
That's a reach.
Well, and that's, you nailed it. That's exactly what they're doing. That's the reason they're talking about it. Go on YouTube right now and search SEC, put in SEC space TOU. And the first thing that comes up is 9 videos about that moment and people talking about it. It is still one of the most talked about things within sports, especially within SEC sports and within college basketball right now. So of course, they're doing that exact thing. They're wanting to get the views and the hits and being obviously silly in their takes. Of course, that's our opinion, but I don't think we're wrong.
But South Carolina won it.
Yep.
And they're
a good team. That can't be lost in this. South Carolina is a stinking good team. They are fun to watch and do amazing things with how they move the ball and what they look like on the floor. They are a fun team to watch and a good basketball team.
Congratulations to South Carolina women for winning the SEC championship. They will go into the tournament, as you both have pointed out, as the favorite to win the entire thing. And what a great moment for women's college basketball. You think about the rivalry that now has erupted between South Carolina and LSU. We have the Caitlin Clark story. Mm-hmm. Women's basketball may be topping men's in terms of the storylines, the personalities.
Yeah, it's really exploding.
So I can't wait for this tournament and to see what happens. And it's going to be fun.
I think it definitely what the conversation we'll hear is about this being one of the most watched women's tournaments ever. I think that'll be an obvious part of the conversation, because I think you're exactly right. I think you can make that statement. When you look at storylines and that stand out and players that stand out, I think the women's game is definitely standing toe to toe with the men's game right now. Even if you're not willing to say they are exceeding the men's game, they are standing toe to toe with. I don't think you can deny that.
Yeah, and it reaches generations.
Yep.
Brandon's daughter is playing basketball, and
awesome.
As the sport continues to grow in popularity, you're going to see more and more younger girls say, "Hey, I want to play basketball. I see those girls on TV. I want to do that."
Absolutely. That's awesome. Yep.
Let's transition over to the men's side of things, where the SEC men's tournament starts tomorrow, March 13th in Nashville, Tennessee. One of your favorite cities.
Yeah. Love Nashville.
So let's talk a little bit about the men's tournament. Who do we think, let's just go right to the end. Who is going to play for the SEC championship on Sunday, March 17th? Darren, you want to go first?
Or
you
want Brandon? Yeah, it doesn't matter to me.
We know who Brandon's going to pick. Well, we may not.
Well, we thought we knew.
He's disappointed his team's only ranked fifth.
As he's got Four Tennessee balls. Marked out losing their first game. I mean,
yeah, right.
Let me tell you about the LSU season this year. Yeah,
right. Let's talk about Vanderbilt's three conference wins. I'm going to go a little bit out on a limb. Because if you look at the bracket and the way it sets up, there are some difficult matchups for those top four teams, which, by the way, fun little side note fact, there have been four teams win the SEC tournament in the last 5 years, and those four teams are this year's top four seeds. So just fun fact you should know. So that's, I just thought that was kind of interesting. So when you look at kind of the avenues that exist for some teams that you might not expect, I think there's some open doors. That is not a pun, by the way. I am not predicting Vanderbilt to do anything other than to lose, because I think this might be an opportunity for Arkansas to have a little bit of a mini run, at least a couple of games, correct some things. I think it's also possible Missouri might pull an upset. That's just first-round stuff. But that being said, I think when you look at paths of some of these teams that play on Wednesday and Thursday, I think Florida and Auburn have a good shot to go into their games against what would be Tennessee and I think Kentucky and win those games. So this is a little bit out there, but I think the SEC championship this year will be Florida versus Auburn, and Auburn will win the SEC championship. How's that for just a tad out there?
Auburn.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah, that's too far out there. Yeah,
I think my prediction, that's good. I could see that happening. I like how you said the paths look promising. Florida would have to get past Tennessee though, which would be a challenge, but
Auburn would have to get past Tennessee.
Auburn, yes. Yeah. Florida would have to get past Kentucky.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I do think what I think is we're going to have a classic rematch here, Tennessee versus Kentucky, and there's no way Tennessee loses again. So, Tennessee champions this year.
I tell you, honestly, I will agree with your premise that if the final game is Tennessee-Kentucky, I think Rick Barnes has Tennessee ready. I don't think they lose to Kentucky again.
Right.
I agree with that. All right, Ben, let us have it.
I can see I think Brandon is probably more on track than you with this pick, Darren. However, desperate teams are dangerous.
Exactly.
When you look at teams that already know they're going to the big dance,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you lose that sense of urgency, that motivation. Do not count out the Arkansas Razorbacks. Eric Musselman is a great coach. They've got a lot of talent on that roster. It's been a very disappointing year for Arkansas.
Yep.
But if they come out with a big win against Vanderbilt to start things off, and then they go to South Carolina, I very well think they could knock off South Carolina. If Musselman gets these guys rolling, watch mm-hmm. out for the Razorbacks. They have a great chance of making it deep into the tournament.
They have to beat Auburn, looks like.
I think they can beat Auburn.
And honestly, that's why I think Auburn ends up matching up against Tennessee, because I think that Arkansas-South Carolina game is going to be such a dogfight. Because I agree with you, I think Arkansas definitely ends up there. I think whoever wins that game, there's going to be some a little bit of hangover. It could go the other way that it builds momentum, but I think there's a little bit of hangover, and that's what kind of opens the door for Auburn.
Yeah, I think so with Arkansas. So, and remember, they recently played Kentucky very tough at Rupp
mm-hmm.
Arena.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they gave Kentucky all they could handle.
Yeah.
So I think they have a chance to get back to a rematch with Kentucky. I'm not sure that they can beat Kentucky, though. I think Kentucky is going to take them much more seriously. So if I had to pick, I'd probably agree with Brandon, Tennessee versus Kentucky. And I think Tennessee is still feeling that loss to Kentucky. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee wins the SEC championship.
There will be some celebration in Nashville from those from Knox Vegas, if that's the case. That's for
But it's the SEC. It's going to be a great tournament.
Oh, absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. And you know, the people that when you look at it from a ticket perspective, that's what you want to see, a Tennessee-Kentucky final, because that's the place is going to be packed, and it's going to be half orange and half blue. Mm-hmm. And if you have an Auburn-Florida final, you'll have one-third orange for Tennessee, one-third blue for Kentucky, and one-third Auburn fans will be. There'll be about nine Florida fans sitting over in a corner. The parents that all came on a bus together.
First row behind the Florida bench.
Exactly.
Well, of course, Selection Sunday is March 17th. That's the date, also the SEC Men's Championship game. Yep. And next week, we'll be breaking down the tournament for you, the seedings, who's going where, and who do we think is going to emerge from each region ultimately into the Final Four. This will be several weeks, as we do every year, spending time talking about the tournament. And Darren, this is just an incredible time of year.
Oh, yeah.
March Madness. We've been waiting for this moment.
This, to me, this is the only thing in sport that rivals kickoff week in football. It's all kind of right there, that excitement, that emotion, that anticipation, the fact that you've just got it kind of bombarding you everywhere you turn, there's a game on, just like this is that first week of football. It's really magnificent. You're right.
It's going to be fun to watch.
Yep, absolutely.
Speaking of watching, thank you for continuing to watch the podcast.
Yes.
We appreciate you so much. Be sure to hit the like button, the subscribe button. Have you done that yet, Brandon? Be sure to hit the subscribe button. and you'll be notified when new episodes drop out and drop
out. Loses.
Drop when new episodes come out. We appreciate the support so much because it means a lot to us that people would take the time to hit that button.
Yeah, Brandon.
We also want to thank Brandon for joining us tonight.
Yes, absolutely. He is
always fun.
Alienated the Alabama fan base.
He's the most popular man in the state of Alabama.
Caused angst among Tennessee Volunteer fans.
Yeah, I know, right?
And
I don't mean to be so depressing. It's just if you follow the Vols as long as I have, if you're out there, you know what I'm talking about.
But I will say this. It's impressive in the process of one show to be almost as popular in Knoxville as you are Tuscaloosa by the time you finish.
Right,
That's pretty impressive.
No balls. No balls. Seriously. This is the year. We got this.
And if you hit that subscribe button, Brandon, things may change.
That's right. They could
That's
turn
true.
Around.
Yeah. Okay.
They could turn around.
So we look forward to seeing you next week. Typically, episodes drop every Tuesday, sometime in the wee hours of the morning, whenever Darren wakes up and gets everything put together. But this week, of course, it's coming out on Wednesday. You can listen whenever you want and on whatever podcast platform you like. If you prefer to watch us, we're on YouTube. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. We'll see you next week. And until then, take care.
Have a great week.
Thank you for making the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast your go-to sports show. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show if you haven't already. Your feedback is so important. Let us know what you think about this week's show. Send an email to brewandshavers@gmail.com or a text to our text line 318-390-3599. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you again for listening to the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast. See you next week.